Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
The Bible contains remarkable stories of miracles and divine interventions. Moses parted the sea. Peter healed a man lame from his mother's womb. Jesus drove demons out of people and raised others from the dead. But are these types of events still happening today?
We too have a beam of divine light and guidance that God has put within the heart of every man. And it's one of the greatest proofs that there is a God.
More amazing supernatural things are happening than we realize.
This is Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. Divine Intervention was created and produced with the purpose of encouraging believers, spiritual seekers, and skeptics alike that Jesus is alive and is still performing miracles and working in the world today.
I believe in miracles.
Here's your host, Daniel Fazina.
Hello, friend, and yes, I am your host, Daniel Fazina. Welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. Friend, I have a question for you. What do you think it would be like to have a severe accident where you are completely rendered unconscious? Doctors are telling your family you probably will never wake up, and if you do, you'll probably be a vegetable. Well, friend, today we have such an individual with us, and he's going to be sharing his amazing testimony about a severe accident that happened to him. The doctor said should have killed him, but yet God had another plan. We serve a God of the impossible, and today's guest is certainly an example of that. I have the privilege and the honor of welcoming Tylan Chapman with us today. He is a native of California, and he's living on the East Coast, serving as a YWAM missionary. And Tylan, welcome to Divine Intervention. Great to have you.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Well, you know, when my wife first told me about your story, it was pretty miraculous. And she said, you've got to get this guy on Divine Intervention because God really did a work in his life. And before we get to your life-changing event, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background? Where are you from? How did you grow up? And what was your spiritual foundation like?
I grew up mostly in Southern California most of my life. My spiritual background, it was shaky. God was still introducing himself, but not by me going to church or through my parents.
Okay. You didn't grow up in a Christian home?
No, I did not.
Okay. So what was it like growing up?
I was a kid. My family was all just... My father was gone. He was not in my life. My mother was shaky. She was going through drugs and stuff like that. I mostly grew up a lot of times at my grandpa's house.
Okay.
And I was able to run the streets and do whatever I wanted to do.
Okay. And what about, what was your concept of God like? Who was God to you back then?
God, he introduced himself through a neighbor called Grandma Lily who would intrigue us to go over there with snacks and stuff, and then she would pull out a Bible verse and read us Bible verse while we were snacking on food. But that was mostly all the God I knew.
Okay.
Was through that.
That was pretty clever. Yeah. Entice the kids with treats, right?
Yep.
And then you get the gospel. That's funny. Okay, so going forward, I guess into your teens or... Now, how old were you when you had this accident?
I was 22 years old.
Okay, you were 22 years old. And mm-hmm. What was going on in your life leading up to this point? I mean, what was your life like at that point?
Well, when I was 15, I finally met my father, and he was a believer, and he tried to show me God through facts that proved God real. But he wasn't a constant in my life. He was in and out still.
Okay.
Well, long story short, I started living with him when I was 19, and then when I was 20, I got a DUI for drinking and driving. I got scared, didn't want him to find out, so I ran up to my grandpa's house up in Spokane, Washington.
Okay.
And 2 years passed by, I was able to get my license back, able to get a job, able to get a place to live. I thought my life was good, but I was still looking for that love, acceptance, and security. And all the wrong things.
Okay. So you're getting your life somewhat on track, but still searching for something that was missing in your life.
Yep.
Okay. At that point, I guess your father was trying to tell you about God and encourage you.
Yeah, my father was trying to encourage me to follow God, but he didn't know how to be a father.
I see.
So we had a rough, shaky relationship.
Okay. And so you started drinking, I guess.
Yeah, drinking, partying, hanging out with all the people, just, yeah, living that party life.
Okay. And then you had a very traumatic, life-changing event, which is the focus of our interview today. Tell us what happened on that fateful night.
Well, on March 22nd, 2009, I decided to stay home and drink some Everclear instead of going to work at Walmart, where I was an offloader. Well, I was also a smoker at that time. I smoked cigarettes. And as I was drinking, you know, I ran out of cigarettes. I wanted to go get more, but I didn't want to drive to go get them because I just got my license back 3 months before.
So I was like, wise man.
So I was like, all right, I'll walk to the gas station, you know. Somehow I walked to the gas station, got there, don't know how. I was drinking Everclear, and that's 190
proof. 190
proof. Yep.
Wow. So for anyone that doesn't know, that's what, over 50% alcohol?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I walked to the gas station, got my cigarettes, and I started walking back. And that's when God decided to introduce himself. He said, as I was walking, someone passed me. He got about 6 blocks down the road.
Someone walking?
Yeah, someone walking past me at 10:30 at night. Got 6 blocks down the road, and then he heard something really loud. Turned back around to see what it was, and he saw me laying down on the ground. What had happened, as I was walking, a drunk driver swerved over, hit me, knocked me 30 feet into the air, and I landed on my head.
Oh my gosh.
The reason why they know I wasn't walking in the middle of the street drunk is because my shoes were together on the right-hand side of the fog line. I flew out of them. They stayed still.
Wow. That is incredible. So, you're hit by a car while you're walking. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any recollection of this?
No thought or anything about it.
Okay, so what's the next thing you remember?
Next thing that I physically remember is waking up in St. Luke's Rehabilitation Place.
And how much time had passed?
I think about close to 3 months.
So, wow. So you have a total blackout of 3 months?
Yep.
Okay. Now, during that interim, you did learn what happened from other witnesses and
yes.
family and stuff. So tell us what happened.
Well, that man who passed by me, he had a cell phone on him. He called 911, and right when he called 911, there was an ambulance right around the corner passing by.
Wow. God's so, timing there?
So they got the call. They swerved right around, picked me up, took me to the hospital, put me on life support because I was barely breathing. The doctors started doing tests to see why I was almost dying. They found out I suffered from a traumatic brain injury.
Mm.
My brain completely split in half. It was damaged all on the outside everywhere and damaged all on the inside.
Wow.
They told my mother that I was going to die because there was no way of them be able to stop the swelling.
Okay.
Usually when you get brain damage, if it's in one spot, they can remove a piece of your skull and let it swell up, and then it'll stop, you know. But me, I was damaged everywhere.
Wow. Well, obviously you're still here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what happened?
Well, the next day comes, and the doctors checked on me, and they're like, oh, wow, okay, his brain didn't swell. All right. That same day, my father was able to fly from California. He got there. When he got there, the doctors talked to both my parents saying, okay, we're going to do a test on him to see if his brain is still alive, to see if we're just taking care of his body. So what they do is they take your fingers and your toes and they bend them back as far as they can to see if your brain will send a signal of pain to your body to react. They started doing that. Nothing was happening. All I was doing is staring up at the ceiling, not even blinking my eyes. They had to come water him down every couple minutes. As they were doing that, they were seeing no results, so they started asking my mom, hey, what do you want to do with this organ? You know, do you want to donate them? She was in shock. She didn't want to answer it. She didn't know what to say.
So at this point, are they declaring you brain dead?
That's what it seems like. It seems like they're proclaiming it. My father, he saw a pastor in the intensive care. He grabbed the pastor and they started praying for me. As they were doing this test, still nothing was happening. Until the end of the prayer when they said, Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I twitched. I jumped.
Mm. I love that. Praise God.
The doctor saw it and they're like, oh, okay. His brain's not dead. We'll put him in a coma. We'll take care of his body. And we'll see if his brain could heal itself while we take care of his body.
Okay.
So they put me in a coma for about 6.5 weeks.
6.5 weeks in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anything while you were in the coma?
I don't remember nothing.
Okay. That's probably a blessing, actually. I would think. Some people, you know, I've heard, like, from when my grandmother was in a coma mm-hmm. many, many years ago, and she came out of it, she actually said that she could hear people around her. Like, she knew who was in the room, but she just couldn't respond.
Well, what just came to my memory is I can remember flashes, like, used to come to me where I can remember certain people or hearing certain things, just short little things.
Right.
You know, I don't know where they came from. I just remember these random incidences every once in a great while.
Okay, but for the most part, it's a complete blank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So you're in a coma for 6.5 weeks.
Yep.
And you obviously came out of it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? What happened?
Well, they decided to wake me up. So as they woke me up, they found out I could breathe on my own now. So they were like, oh, that's very good, you know?
Yes, that's a good sign.
So his brain's done his brain's done a little bit of healing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But as I was waking up, I started cussing, screaming, yelling, ripping off all the computer stuff that was hooked into me, ripping out the trach that they installed into me. I was just being violent.
I understand that this is actually a relatively common occurrence with people who've had traumatic brain injuries. You just never know. Sometimes they have very unpredictable behaviors. And especially when someone wakes up from a coma, they're often very confused and don't know what's going on.
That's exactly what happened to me.
Was that your personality beforehand? Were you like did you cuss a lot and were you violent or?
No, I was.
Okay.
I was a quiet little kid who just kept to myself and watched everything around me.
Okay. So this was out of character.
Yeah.
Okay.
The doctors told my parents, okay, he doesn't need to be here in the hospital anymore. You guys have to take him somewhere. And I was looking at going to Seattle because I guess they had to put straps around my arms from me from grabbing everything. And no one was willing to take anybody who was strapped down like that. But there was one nursing home who took me called the Gardens. They decided to take me. My mom was blessed by that because she didn't have to drive all the way to Seattle. Seattle's about 6 hours away.
Okay.
So they took me there.
So how long were you in the nursing home for?
For another about 6 weeks.
6 weeks, okay.
Yeah.
So what are they doing with you there?
They tried to do physical therapy with me
mm-hmm.
because I guess my whole right side of my body got extremely weak. But I guess I wasn't doing any physical therapy with them. I wasn't cooperating with them.
Okay.
I continued to cuss at them, scream at them, hit them. They tried to talk to me. But I forgot all my English. The only English I remember was cuss words or anything I heard through songs. I guess I used to sing songs a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they tried to feed me, but I forgot how to swallow food.
Wow.
Yeah.
Such a simple thing that we all take for granted, you know, to forget how to swallow.
Yeah. I didn't think that was something that you forgot. That was something naturally.
Like, babies are born with that, right, ability to swallow, right?
That's what I thought, and I was like, well, why don't we feed babies whole food then?
Yeah.
We got to feed them crushed up food to teach them how to use those mechanics right.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. So they had to put me on a feeding tube.
Okay.
Before the accident, I weighed 145. After the accident, I went down to 84 pounds.
84 pounds. That's basically skin and bones.
Yep.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10 and a half.
5'10 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at 84 pounds. Wow. Do the math, folks. It's not pretty.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
Wow.
So, yeah, I couldn't eat food. I didn't do physical therapy. Couldn't remember any English. And my parents tell me every day when they would leave me, I would ask them to kill me because I hated my life.
that's probably one of the hardest things a parent could hear from their child, you know, whom they love.
Yep.
To see them incapacitated and suffering and wanting to just end their own lives. I can't even imagine what that's like. Wow. Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are visiting with our special guest, Tylan Chapman. And he's telling us the gripping account of how he actually got run over by a drunk driver while he was walking on the street. And he ended up in a coma in a rehab place trying to get his life back, forgetting how to swallow, forgetting how to speak, his body atrophying, and doctors not giving him much hope. But we serve a God of the impossible and a God of hope. And obviously, Tylan is sitting here across from me alive and well, doing much, much better than the doctors had had thought. Now, Tylan, I wanted to ask you, did they ever catch the guy who hit you?
Yes. The main police officer, he saw the state that I was in when I went into the hospital. And he saw the reaction to my mother's face. And he told my mom he was going to catch him. And he caught him 4 hours after the accident.
4 hours. Okay. Yep. Not bad. Do you know what happened to the guy? Or?
Yes. We went to court a year later, and one person believed his story, and the rest of the jury believed mine, so that means we'd have to have a retrial. But I saw the effect it had on my mother through that whole thing, and I said, no, I'll just settle. I wanted it to end. Didn't want her to put it through that pain anymore.
I don't blame you. That's a traumatic thing to have happen. So, all right, let's go back to, you know, you're in the nursing home. How did you finally progress?
The doctors were telling my parents, you know, you prayed for him to survive, but this is how traumatic brain injury people turn out, and they end up staying like this forever.
Forever?
Forever. This wow. is the way that they end up staying, you know? So they had no hope. My dad was still able to fly up every weekend and come see me. Well, he flew up one weekend. About another 6 weeks later, he flew up. He would get there first thing in the morning, Saturday morning, when I was still sleeping, because that was the only peaceful time he had with me. Well, this Saturday morning, he got there. I woke up, and I said, "Hey, Dad, how you doing? I love you." He freaked out. He was like, "Wait, what? What'd you just say?" Because this wasn't the boy he was used to hearing.
What was he used to hearing?
He was used to me screaming and yelling at him and cussing at him. Wow. Calling him names.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And so something changed.
Yeah, something changed. And I even told him, "Hey, guess what? I had a dream that I was pregnant and I had a kid and it hurt really, really bad." He's like, "Are you joking?" I said, "Of course, Dad, you know me." So
your speech came back.
Yeah, I had enough speech to, you know, talk to him about it.
Wow.
And
so you didn't actually have to learn how to speak again? It just kind of came back? Or
I'll share. Hang
okay.
on.
Okay.
Hang on.
I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm chomping at the bit here. What happened?
Yeah. So, he freaked out. He called my mom. My mom came and saw me. I reacted to her in a kind, loving way. She freaked out. So she's like, "All right, we got to call his doctor." She called my doctor.
Now, you remember this part, or do you not?
Like I said, I remember flashes.
Okay. All right.
Instances.
So this is before you actually remember came back. Okay.
She did an evaluation on me. She said, "Okay, he's ready to recover. Let's move him to St. Luke's Rehabilitation, which is a rehabilitation that three nuns started."
Okay.
"And it has pictures of Jesus down every hallway."
Hmm.
And then when I got there, that's when my brain snapped on.
That's when you started remembering?
I can remember the day I got there till now.
Okay. Wow. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
You go into a place started by nuns, obviously dedicated to the Lord, and your memory comes back.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you remember from that day forward?
When I got there, I remember I was like a baby.
Mm.
I couldn't do nothing. I didn't even know how to brush my teeth. That's how much of a baby I was. Didn't know how to get dressed. Didn't know how to eat. Didn't know how to process words or understand them completely. Like hearing the word cat or dog, I felt like that was the very first time I ever heard that in my whole life.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like you're almost like you're being born again, like going back to an infancy.
That's exactly what it was like. My whole right side of my body felt like I was carrying around dead skin. I couldn't remove it. My arm got stuck up in an L position. Mm-hmm. I couldn't straighten it out. I couldn't really open it or use it. Because I guess my brain was telling to retract during my accident. The doctors weren't trying to control that. They were trying to save my brain. So they let it do what it did. I couldn't do nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. Again, friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are visiting with our special guest, Tylan Chapman, who's telling us the gripping tale of how he was hit by a car, a drunk driver, and ended up in the hospital and also rehab in a coma. Doctors telling his family he would die, and then when he did survive, that he would probably never be the same again. Brain damaged and just basically reduced to an infantile state. But again, we serve the God of the impossible, and we're going to take a quick break, but coming up, we're going to hear the rest of this amazing story about the restorative work that God did in Tylan's life, and what he's doing now as Tylan is a missionary with YWAM, sharing the gospel with many people, going overseas and ministering. God is using him in a mighty way. So be encouraged. We'll be right back to hear the rest of this amazing story with Tylan Chapman right here on Divine Intervention.
We'll be right back with more from Daniel Fazina and Divine Intervention right after this. I believe in miracles.
Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124. Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334. Divine Intervention is supported by the Other Perspective Media recording artist, poet Billy Lamont. The Other Perspective 777, a sacred art sensory experience. More information about poet Billy Lamont's CDs, books, and Other Perspective Media can be found at www.billylamont.com. That's www.billylamont.com. First Steps to Success with ABC's secret millionaire Danny Johnson gives you the tools to remap your internal beliefs about yourself, about your money, and about others. You'll learn a simple but powerful system to create success in any environment, as well as business building, leadership, sales, and marketing skills to create the lifestyle most only dream about.
Prior to getting started with Danny, I was a civil engineer working paycheck to paycheck, no retirement, no savings. Had a lot of dreams and goals and couldn't figure out how I'm gonna get to those. Started plugging into Danny, started my own engineering business, and this year we'll do about $600,000 in revenue. I paid off $50,000 in debt in 2.5 years. More than the money, a great relationship with my wife and my kids. Just amazing 2.5 years.
First Steps to Success with Danny Johnson is about becoming the leader you were called to be. More information about Danny Johnson and First Steps to Success can be found at DannyJohnson.com or by calling 866-760-8255.
Have you heard the story about the terrifying dragon created by God?
Dragons, just the word conjures up all these images.
They look like big reptiles with long tails, with scales, sharp teeth, claws.
They're carnivorous and they're basically going to gnaw your face off.
Could actually be stories about what we today call dinosaurs.
Marco Polo's writing about dragons. Alexander the Great is talking about his giant lizard.
How did the people who carved that stone 800 years ago have carved a stegosaur?
Where in the world did all those images come from?
Do you believe in dragons? or dinosaurs.
Try to explain away human encounters with creatures which we would call dragons.
Creation or evolution.
Clearly, science has shown this dinosaur died out very recently.
This is one of the greatest paleontological discoveries ever.
Man or God.
Confirms the Bible's history that dinosaurs and people lived at the same time.
Cloud 10 Pictures proudly presents Dragons or Dinosaurs, DVD and book. Ask for it at fine Christian retailers everywhere.
Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124.
Hey, this is Ken Shamrock, UFC heavyweight world champion. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio, hosted by Daniel Fazina.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are visiting with our special guest, Tylan Chapman. Before the break, we were hearing about his gripping story of being run over by a drunk driver and, you know, basically the doctors giving up hope on him, saying that he was going to die, and if he did live, he would pretty much be a vegetable the rest of his life. But he is sitting here alive and whole, and God has done an amazing work in him. So welcome back, Tylan.
Hello, yeah, it's nice to be back.
All right, so take us from where you left off. You had entered this rehabilitation facility that was started by three nuns. They had pictures of Jesus all over the place, and this is when your memory came back and God started restoring you. Tell us what happened from there.
Yeah, as I was learning or trying to learn how to live life again, you know, I was struggling still with a little depression, and I don't know, somehow I knew what happened, subconsciously, somehow I knew what would happen, but I didn't know if I was ever going to get better, or what I was technically doing, why I was doing it. So, you know, I battled with anger,
sure,
and depression, and just continual lostness, like, wow, this is my life now, you know? Mm.
Now, how much time had passed from the time of the accident to the time where you were in this rehabilitation place?
About 3 months.
3 months. Okay, so 3 months you had pretty much a total blackout. You wake up, you're in this place, and you're almost like an infant, not able to really speak or process words, you said, not able to swallow, feed mm-hmm. yourself, nothing. And of course, I guess if you're in that state, the natural mind would tend to get angry and say, what's going on here? This is my life. Why did this happen? I mean, now at this point in your life, did you start questioning God? Like, where was God in this? Or even if he was there? Or how did he reach out to you in this situation?
He reached out through me, through the people. Okay. You know, the love, the care that they showed. Even though I felt angry, there was still something on my heart pulling me, you know, saying, hey, I love you, you know?
Right.
My dad would come up and visit me faithfully every weekend. My mom dropped out of school and she would come see me every day. The nurses would be kind and nice to me, even though I was yelling and cussing at them and being mean.
Mm.
The physical therapist and the speech therapist, occupational therapists were They always approach me with a kind heart and a kind word.
It reminds me of the verse in 1 Corinthians, right? Love never fails.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know, Jesus said, love your enemies. You know, mm-hmm. not that you were an enemy, but you weren't exactly friendly.
Yeah, no.
So love conquers all, you know, and as humans, as fallen people, we have a natural tendency. If someone yells at us or wants to lash out at us, we have a tendency to want to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess those people in that facility, first of all, they understood traumatic brain injury, probably. You mm-hmm. know, they're professionals, they're working with you, but in the love of Christ, you know, that's probably something that's above and beyond what maybe a normal facility would do.
Yeah. And God started showing me himself through letting me do the impossible. You know, I couldn't walk. I was sitting in a wheelchair. I had people push me around because I couldn't move it myself. I couldn't do anything. But he started challenging me. All right, wake up early. All right, get that walker. Start walking with that walker. All right, stand in the standing frame for 45 minutes. Okay, play Wii with your right arm. That's extremely weak. And move it, use it. Even though I'm left-handed, I wanted to use my left hand. God was saying, nope, use your right arm. Here you go. And he started healing me. What really caught me on fire is when one day a physical therapist said, okay, we're going to walk up steps. We're going to walk up the stairs.
Wow.
I was like, wait, what?
This is a big challenge for you.
I was like, I can't even barely stand up. How are we going to walk upstairs? Like, it's impossible. I can't do it. I was like, I'm going to fall. He's like, I got you.
Wow.
I will put you on my shoulder and I will carry you up if I have to.
Isn't that just like our relationship with God sometimes?
Yeah.
That's like, exactly. He calls us sometimes to do the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, don't worry, I got you. You know what? I'll carry you if need be.
Mm-hmm.
But when we partner with him, you know, the Lord is he's there with us. And I've heard it said that, you know, if he calls you to do something, like if you can do it on your own, then it's really not God, because, you know, he wants to do the impossible with you, you know.
Well, I took the first step. I was like, oh, what? I could do this? I took another step. I was like, what? After a couple steps, I was on fire. It just set my soul on fire. It made me happy and joyful because in my mind, in my heart, that was impossible. It was never going to happen, but it happened. After that, I wanted to try something new every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you had a big part in your own recovery, obviously, but the feeling of being able to accomplish just one little baby step at a time, you know, that's how we reach huge goals, you know?
Yeah.
They always say, you know, how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time, you know. How do you reach your goal, even though it may be a long way off? You keep your eye on it, and you just take one step at a time toward it. Eventually, you'll get there.
And what was really amazing, how God really showed me himself in that, that I didn't do it, is that the way that their physical therapist reacted.
Oh, what was his reaction?
He was surprised, too. He was like, wait, what? What are you doing? And so just seeing the reaction of him made me know that it wasn't me doing it.
So he was trying to help you, but I guess in his own mind he kind of thought, well, this is my job to do, but I don't think he can do it, kind of.
Maybe he felt like I could do it, but he didn't think I would be able to do it as efficiently and as good as I was doing it. He wasn't expecting such a giant leap.
Wow, that is so cool. So how much time did you actually spend in this rehab place?
I got there in June. I was able to go from an inpatient to an outpatient in September 18th.
About 3 months-ish. Mm-hmm. And then you walked out?
I was able to walk with my walker. I was able to eat food, swallow them, you know.
That is awesome.
I was able to talk. Sure, I was still a little slow, little words, you know.
Sure.
My thought process, but I was able to communicate. People understood me, you know.
And today you walk without a walker, I noticed, and you've made awesome progress, awesome strides. And, you know, God has taken you so far from this place, because not only did he restore you physically, mentally, but spiritually as well. Now tell us, you're obviously now a Christian, you believe in the Lord.
Yes.
How did that come about? When did that take place, and what was your process going through that?
Well, when they decided to finally let me home, it just overcame me, you know, to proclaim, like, Alright, God, I know you are real. There's no pushing you into a box saying you're fairy tale or that you're not real. Okay, you proved yourself to me that you love me and that you desire a relationship. So, okay, I'll get to know you. So I asked my father, hey, where should I start reading the Bible? He said, read the New Testament. So, man, as soon as I popped it open, it's like I had a blanket or something pulled from my eyes because I understood it.
Mm.
It was grabbing me, man. I was reading books of the New Testament. Books. Not just one book, not just one verse, but books of it. Because it was like, wow, I understood it and it showed me truth, you know?
Did you have to learn how to read again? Or did it just come back?
It just came back.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I know some people have had brain injuries and they have to learn like they're a baby again, like C-spot run, you know, the whole thing. So that's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, so I started reading the Bible. At that same time, though, my arm was still stuck up in an L position. Mm-hmm. They tried to stretch it in physical therapy when I was an inpatient. They tried to do a little bit outpatient, but they couldn't get it to move any farther. So my doctor said, okay, you're going to have surgery. They're going to have to stretch out your tendons so you can open your hand all the way up and move it up and down. At that same time, though, is right when I decided to open my Bible. After the surgery, they're like, okay, you got to go back to physical therapy. You don't got to become an inpatient, but an outpatient, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But something overcame my mom. She didn't want me to go to the same place.
Okay.
Where they knew everything about me already. They knew what they were handling with. She wanted some new eyes on me.
Okay.
So she signed me up for STAR, which is a physical therapy place, but it's also sports-oriented. And what did I find out? That my physical therapist and everyone working with me were all believers.
Oh, wow.
That's not something that was advertised on the commercials or anything. But they were all believers.
So God put you among a community of believers who are professionals to help you physically, mentally, spiritually?
Yeah, because it was awesome because I just not looked forward to going there to physically get healed, but I was able to talk about God openly, as loud as I wanted, and about anything.
Amen.
I was like, wow.
That is awesome.
And then what happened? Oh, my physical therapist, she lives right down the street from me. Oh, and she goes to a church right down the street from our house? Wow.
Divine coincidence?
Yeah. God also put on my heart during that time, start looking into schools, you know, because your parents aren't going to always be there to take care of you.
Right.
So look into a career, you know, something that you could do. And I wanted to do something, you know, I was still, yeah, I recovered where I could walk and I could talk and I could eat, but I was still dependent on making my food, of even using the restroom, you know, or taking showers.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have very good mobility or anything else like that. So I started calling schools, telling them my situation, and they're like, okay, well, what's your interest? I was blown away because I didn't have any interest. The only interest I had was God.
Mm. Wow.
So I prayed to God. I was like, all right, God, you got to direct me. You know where I'd use perfectly. You know what I would do. So direct me. That same night, I went to a college group that I became part of, 1831. And they showed a video called DTS Jesus Freaks, which is a video that shows what YWAM is all about, what the focus is.
Now, for anyone who doesn't know, YWAM is Youth with a Mission, and DTS is Discipleship Training Program. This is their boot camp, if you will, where they train up missionaries and they send them wherever there's a need. I mean, it's an international organization, so people go all over the world. I have a good friend, Kevin Frolick, who is a YWAM missionary in Malaysia right now with his family. So Thailand is actually a missionary right now with YWAM, and he got connected with them. Again, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and our special guest today is Tylan Chapman. God has just done an amazing restorative work in his life after having been run over by a car by a drunk driver, and doctors pretty much giving up on him, saying he was going to die, and then if he did live, he would be vegetable, comatose, infantile state. And here he is today, restored. He's walking, he's talking, he's proclaiming Jesus, and he is a missionary with YWAM. So, Tylan, what is the Lord doing with you right now with YWAM?
The Lord has been sending me to the needy, to the widow, to the orphan, you know, showing them that, wow, God is real. He is so big, and he wants to just show you and pour out his love on you. All you got to do is just say hello to him.
Mm. And he's even taken you overseas, hasn't he?
Yes. In 2012, I went to Amsterdam first, proclaimed the Lord Jesus in the red light district.
Awesome.
And then he took me to Angola, Africa.
Wow. Now, when you look back on your life, even, you know, 5-6 years ago, did you ever think that you'd be used by God in this way?
I never thought I was going to move out of my own backyard.
Amen. Praise God. So, you know, let that be an encouragement to you. No matter what your situation, no matter what your condition is, God can use you. Whatever life, whatever talents, whatever you have, you give it to the Lord and he will do amazing things. He will multiply it. He will use it for his glory. Just like he's doing with Thailand as a missionary overseas and proclaiming the gospel. Thailand, in the course of your missionary activities, either in Angola or Amsterdam, can you tell us a story of where you just knew that God was working and you could just see him, you know, working through you or in your life in that point?
I saw him working through me is when I was in Amsterdam. I had a walker. I was using my walker and we did a whole lot of walking and I would fall behind the group and my pride would rise up and say, no, you could do it. And I would push myself. I would sprint in front of the group and then be extremely tired again and fall behind. They were trying to help me. They're saying, just sit down on your walker. We'll push you, you know? But my pride was too big. God was telling me, hey, yeah, I brought you here to heal you and to show you my love, acceptance, security, but I also brought you here to do my work, for you to teach people how to serve, you know?
Mm.
I want to teach them how to be servants, so let them serve you. Teach them, weaken their hearts.
Wow.
So, yeah, I sat down and let them push me, and it united us greater as a group, you know?
Mm.
It brought truth. People will know that you're my followers by how you love one another.
Mm, amen to that.
And that's what was seen.
So what was your experience like in the red light district?
It was, God was challenging us. Look, he surrounded us around women who were also on our team, so they, you know, they helped us. But what really sticks out to me is, yeah, you know, us guys were struggling because, you know, I have windows of girls dancing and stuff. But he put on one of our leader's hearts to just start singing a song, a worship song.
Mm.
And as soon as he did that, all of us heard, and we all started singing with him. As we're walking through the red light district, we were screaming out the worship song, and it united us, you know, it made us excited. It transformed the environment, everything.
Mm.
It was amazing.
That's great. So were you actually able to talk to some of these women and minister to them?
We were able to talk to a lot of people in the simplest ways. They told us, okay, go evangelize. And we're like, oh, how are we going to do that? God revealed it to us by one of our groups. Made signs, said free coffee, and we made coffee. And we just stood out there holding up the sign saying free coffee. And then people come up and be like, are you giving away free coffee? We're like, yeah. They're like, why? That was the first open door. Say, because Jesus loves you.
Mm.
And we'd be able to share, you know.
Did you find the people receptive?
Yeah, it was really awesome because Amsterdam has just not one type of person, but it has everyone from the world around there.
Right.
If you just treat the people as their people, just as yourself, they are more than open to listen and to share what their life's all about.
Hmm. And what was the experience like in Angola? What was that environment like?
It was amazing. God was showing me that he's the God of everyone, you know. He speaks through everyone. He cares about everyone. These people didn't have nothing. To my eyes, to the America's eyes, they had nothing. But they had a lot more than nothing. They had God.
Mm.
They went to church 6 days a week.
Wow.
And each church service was 4 to 5 hours long. They were the most happiest, joyful people I've ever seen or met.
Wow. That is amazing. It goes to show you like how different our cultures can be, mm-hmm. and yet how we can be united in Christ. And, mm-hmm. and to see the simplicity and the joy that comes from just knowing God. I kind of had a taste of that when I went to the Dominican Republic and ministered in a place where I had never been that close to abject poverty before. And the people had, you know, by materialistic American standards, not much. I mean, tin shacks strewn together with whatever they could find. No plumbing, no running water, no electricity per se. But yet, very peaceful, very joyful. You know, loved God and loved each other. And yes, there were problems, but you know, there were missionaries there who were helping with those. Like, they dug a fresh water well so that people could come and fill up their jugs every morning and get fresh water. You know, prior to that, they would have to walk miles to a dirty river, and there was a lot of waterborne illness prior to that. But to see the transformation just from a fresh water well, I mean, just amazing things. And the people were so happy and appreciative of everything and very joyful. So, friend, if you ever have an opportunity to go on a mission trip, I think you should do it. Because it will change your life. You may be going there with the intention to bless somebody, and I'm sure you will, but you're going to be blessed even more, I think. God is going to meet you there, and he's going to show up, and he's going to show you how big he is and how much he loves you. So speaking of that, you actually have another mission trip coming up, and you wanted to tell everyone about that. Feel free.
Yeah, our recent DTS is going to be flying to Bolivia first, to help out a church with children and women, taking them off the street, you know, showing them that God loves them and instructing them of how much God loves them. They're also going to be flying to Cuiabá, Brazil, and São Paulo, Brazil, to share the gospel during the World Cup, you know, because the World Cup, everyone around the world is going to be there.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
That's an opportunity. Yeah, that's the perfect grounds to show who God's in, you know?
So if someone wants to get involved or maybe support your missionaries and your trip, how can they do that?
They could either call our base by 804-236-8898 or look us up online at ywamva.org.
All right, give the phone number and the website one more time.
804-236-8898 or ywamva.org.
Okay. Again, our guest is Tylan Chapman. We got just a short minute or two before we wrap up, but if there's someone listening right now who may be struggling with an illness, or maybe they've been paralyzed, or they suffered a devastating accident, or maybe they just don't even know if God is real, I mean, what would you like to say to that person?
I would like to say, man, you don't have to go through a traumatic experience to know that God is real. God is real. He loves you, and he wants to show you the world. He wants to pour out that love. All he wants you to just do is say hello to him, you know? Get to know him personally. He is a person. He does love you, and he does want to give you the best of everything he's got for you.
Amen. Once again, Tylan Chapman, thank you so much for being our guest here on Divine Intervention, for inspiring us. I really appreciate you coming out, and I just love what God is doing in your life.
Amen. Thank you. I'm happy and more than joyful what the Lord has done in my life, and he continues undoing.
Amen. Well, friend, that about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. Again, our special guest has been Tylan Chapman of YWAM. Friend, please remember to visit us online, divineinterventionradio.com, divineinterventionradio.com. You can hear all the archives there. You can also follow me on Twitter, DanielFazina1 on Twitter, and check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/divineinterventionradio. Take care, friend, and God bless.
You've been listening to Divine Intervention with your host, Daniel Fazina. You can email Daniel at divineintervention@mail.com. That's divineintervention@mail.com. All programs of Divine Intervention are available online at divineinterventionradio.com. That's divineinterventionradio.com. Join us next time here on Divine Intervention.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope you have been inspired by the many miracle testimonies we have featured and that your faith has increased. Jesus is alive and he is still working wonders among his people today. More information about the Divine Intervention Show, free downloads and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com. That's www.divineinterventionradio.com. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio. The Bible contains some incredible stories of miracles and divine interventions. Jesus calmed a raging storm, healed paralytics, and even raised the dead. But are these types of events still happening today? The answer to this question, as you will see from reading my books, Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, is an emphatic yes. Contained within each book is a collection of amazing true stories that attest to this fact. You will read the astonishing firsthand accounts of people who have been healed of paralysis, terminal cancer, and AIDS through prayer. You will see the love of God powerfully transform the life of an Islamic terrorist. You will witness the liberation of the demon-possessed, the resurrection of the dead, and much more. Prepare to be awed and inspired as you experience divine intervention. More information about Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, can be found at divineinterventionradio.com or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665. First Steps to Success with ABC's secret millionaire, Danny Johnson, gives you the tools to remap your internal beliefs about yourself, about your money, and about others. You'll learn a simple but powerful system to create success in any environment, as well as business building, leadership, sales, and marketing skills to create the lifestyle most only dream about.
Prior to getting started with Danny, I was a civil engineer working paycheck to paycheck, no retirement, no savings. Had a lot of dreams and goals and couldn't figure out how I'm going to get to those. Started plugging into Danny, started my own engineering business, and this year we'll do about $600,000 in revenue. I paid off $50,000 in debt in 2.5 years. More than the money, a great relationship with my wife and my kids. Just amazing 2.5 years.
First Steps to Success with Danny Johnson is about becoming the leader you were called to be. More information about Danny Johnson and First Steps to Success can be found at DannyJohnson.com or by calling 866-760-8255. Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124. Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334.
Divine Intervention is supported by Grease Car Vegetable Fuel Systems. Grease Car Vegetable Fuel Systems is the leading manufacturer of vegetable oil conversion kits for diesel vehicles. With Grease Car kits, your diesel vehicle can run on waste vegetable oil, saving money while recycling and helping to preserve the environment. Kits are available for diesel-powered cars, light-duty and heavy-duty trucks. More information can be found on the web at www.greasecar.com or by calling 413-534-0013.
Divine Intervention is supported by the Other Perspective Media recording artist, poet Billy Lamont. Poetry, music, film, video, publishing, art, activism, photography, philosophy, Jesus. The Other Perspective, 777, a sacred art sensory experience. More information about poet Billy Lamont's CDs, books, and Other Perspective Media can be found at www.billylamont.com. That's www.billylamont.com.